everybody. Welcome to the Designated Survivor After Show. We're breaking down episode 3, The Confession. And speaking of confessions, Michael Klaus has a confession he's going to share with you that's going to blow you away. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Look at that. Welcome, everybody, to the Designated Survivor After Show here.
What's going on, everyone?
TV. Woo! Yes.
Oh, look at the lights.
I love it. Look at this. Let's give it up for Mark in the booth, making this look so fly, right?
It's a party in here.
So fly.
So fly.
I had to stop because you'd said that.
I broke this game. I did. Sorry, everybody. We'll be breaking down episode 3 of Designated Survivor. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
What's up, guys? I'm one of your hosts, Christine Alexis. You can follow me on Twitter at Christine Bean with 3 E's.
What is going on, everyone? Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV, on Instagram at The Only MC.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And check out my blog, catslipstickla.com. Tomorrow, I'm going to have the Where Are They Now? 7 Days in 7 Days article.
Ooh, look at that.
Yes.
Can't wait, guys.
Can you tease us? Did any of them lead anywhere?
I got responses. A few of them read the article and...
So they know about the other dates.
A few of them know about the other dates. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So that's a teaser.
What time is this going to drop on the interwebs?
It's going to drop at around 2 p.m.
Oh, excited. Oh, all right.
There we go.
As we're talking about social media, why don't you take a moment and like us on Facebook? Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Michael Klaus has the chat up and running there. He's going to hear all your thoughts.
We got a lot of people tuning in already.
Yes.
Nice. People,
yay. So
people just as it's set up.
What?
That's right.
People just as upset as I am that Scott is no more. Oh, rest in peace, Scott.
No one can be as upset as you are about it, Michael.
Yeah, so hop in the chat, share your thoughts about this episode. Also, folks, if you have any ideas about any speculation about what Michael Klaus's confession is going to be, feel free to start throwing them in the live chat.
That's right.
He's going to reveal
gonna
at
have
the end
it at
of
the very
episode.
End. The
yes.
very end of the season.
Guys, it's a game changer. That's all I'm saying
the
right
season.
Now. Yes.
From this episode to the season.
I just snuck that in there. Ivan, though, no body, no death, Klaus. That's right, Ivan. Team Scott, we're still alive.
All right. Speaking of that, we start the episode off at the ruins of the Capitol building. We know we left off last episode with Hannah hanging out there at the crash scene or the explosion site, and they announce that they found a survivor. And we
not
come back.
Scott.
Not Scott.
Not Scott.
It's good old Peter McLeish.
Peter.
Yes.
Here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys caught this, and this is a huge player. Obviously, when we find out that he leaves, did you notice that when they're talking about Congressman Peter McLeish, they purposely overlay audio saying that he is a decorated war hero?
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
And so that obviously, to me, draws a huge conspiracy. Did he get sick of fighting? Did he, you know, get together with other people when he was over fighting somewhere? Could be a guy who, you know, you don't see as a bad guy, but completely changed his sides.
Yeah, he's only 35 years old, they said, so he's pretty young, and, like, it's weird.
To be a congressman, you got to be 25 years old. 30 to be a senator, 35 to be president.
And he's currently in his third term, so he's been there a little while, so yeah. It'd be interesting to see how long, if he's in on something, how long he is
totally
actually.
Totally is. Yeah, I think so.
Think so, Renee?
Yeah.
You're so jaded. You're being so jaded about America.
I know. I think it's an inside job. I think Peter's guilty. Yeah, no, I don't trust it at all, because how did he survive? That there's no way you're innocent
sense. And
you survive that.
A lot of people called it. Here's the thing. I'm going to give a shout out to the people on the live chat who called that last week that said that he was definitely dirty. I forget who it was. Someone's going to chime in here. Let me know who you were. I'll give you a shout out. They called it last week that the person who was survivor, who now we find out is Peter, definitely dirty.
Well, how do you know he just didn't have like a bladder, like a weak bladder? He needed to really go to the bathroom.
Timing?
He couldn't wait anymore.
The plot doesn't really...
I think that's what the show's going to be talking about. We've got bladder issues. We're going way off. It's a big game, big left turn in this show. So, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. Speaking of things that are really cool, though, morning after, we see Tom Kirkman there in the Oval Office. Man, looking sharp. Let's talk about Tom Kirkman's outfit there. Like a little sweater and tie combo?
His style has been on point this episode. He looks presidential.
Very. He does. I got that sentiment,
The power
too.
Suit, the power tie, power steering. Boom. He's in control.
That's a Michael Klaus exclusive right there.
Ivan says that he was one of the people who said, Ivan, if you were one of them, congratulations on calling that.
That's nice. Right. Michael Klaus has something special he'll send to you. Just tweet him your address. So anybody else that also was in on that, Michael Klaus, he's assembled a nice little gift bag that he's going to be sharing with all those people that guessed correctly.
An AfterBuzz mug is coming in.
Nice one.
We also find out, though, that...
Unwashed.
This is terrible.
What a great gift for somebody. President Richmond's son, Tyler, he's coming in to share some memories that Tom will be able to use as they write the eulogy for President Richmond's funeral.
You could tell he was shady.
I got that feeling right away. Like, he's like, yeah, to you guys, you know, he was a president, but to me... And he, like, paused. I thought he was going to be like, well, I didn't care anyway. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that was my father. I'm like, bullshit.
Really? Yeah. I liked him. I wrote down, why couldn't Leo be more like him?
Well, true.
Why can't Leo just, like, disappear?
Turns out Leo is a lot like him.
The brother.
Rebel.
God, the liar.
Thoughts on his overall character? I mean, I thought obviously, we find out that he's a douche. But
well, I don't know, necessarily a douche, but I mean, I guess he's kind of estranged, and I mean, he wants to. I think it's what anybody you see a father taken away before you've had a chance to kind of mend fences. You want to try to just, it's in some way, just try to reconnect through death and be overly protective. I guess.
Also, his father, as far as he knows, his father fired this guy who somehow is president, who shouldn't have been president if his father fired him a day before, wouldn't be president. So that's like, I get where that anger comes from. When you don't get closure in that situation, you lose your father who, I mean, now you're mourning, you're upset, and you're like, who is this guy who's now taking my dad's job? My dad probably didn't even want him to have this job. Like, I wouldn't get it either if I was Tyler.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You have to realize that I'll say politics, even though I'm not talking specifically about this kind of politics, but you have to realize he's the president. And the country needs to band together behind this person.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about all these plots to overthrow him. Guess what? That's not going to work. You know? This is the person who steps up. This is someone who we need to rally behind. Forget the party. Forget everything else. And Tyler needs to know better, especially with his dad as president, being, you know, the leader of the free world. You need to be this person. You need to rally behind this person, no matter who he is. And Tyler needs to know that.
I mean, I agree. I guess I just understand where he's coming from. Like, I feel that if I just lost my father, who was the president, and I would just be going off of what I had left of him, and if that information involved this guy getting fired without any more information, why we don't know, like, really who this guy is. Like, I get where he's coming from, like, being upset. I don't think he handled the situation in the best way. However, he's really sad. He lost his dad.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of, like, misguided anger, because considering they had projecting that falling out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's like, how are you now all of a sudden, like, the authority on what your father would have wanted, and yeah, you know, like, all of a sudden knowing everything. I just felt like it was so misguided, and like you said, he didn't handle it the right way.
Yeah.
So it kind of annoyed me. It's like, go away.
Well, one thing that is not going away from Tom Kirkman, though, is he had a big interview with Elizabeth Vargas.
That's cringeworthy.
Yes, hard-hitting interview there. Before they can start prepping for that, all of a sudden the power goes out in the White House. Everything goes out. They think it's a power surge. The network is down. There's a real-time intrusion into the White House systems, and we found out the White House has been hacked. So basically, everybody's looking around. They found out the only place that's really been intruded on is inside the Oval Office. All the president's computers.
The president's personal computer.
Yes. So, of course, all the Secret Service go in. They collect everything that's inside there, and they start breaking down to see what was inside there. Of course, the initial speculation is maybe it's another attack. That's, of course, I guess, when you see the power go out, what else do you have to think?
I'll ask this question. Do you guys think, and in live chat here too, do you guys think that this show is almost too easily predicted sometimes? Because obviously they're continuing to throw out this and make it seem like Al Sakaar, you know, was part of this. Oh, it seems so obvious, though. Obviously we want to believe in Kirkman, and he's the lovable guy here. And he is totally not for it even at all. And I feel like it's almost too predictable that this is not Al Sakaar. Yet they keep trying to throw these things out here, saying, oh, it could be Al Sakaar, it could be Al Sakaar. I don't know. I just don't enjoy it that much. I wish they would kind of stop.
I think the reason they did that, though, is because the audience is supposed to see how obvious it is that it's not Elsagar. Like, I think we're supposed to see this on Kirkman's side, mm-hmm. on Hannah's side, and be like, oh my gosh, but, like, who is it? And kind of have that... The mystery is not so much, like, did Elsagar do it or not, as much as it is who actually did this, who got away with this, and why are they trying so hard to just confuse everyone or mm-hmm. frame this? Like, you know? That's what I get from it. Like, I think that's why they're trying to shift the focus to also show how that would cause chaos in the country if everyone thinks it's one terrorist group, but actually it's someone else. And then that would shift the focus away from whoever did it.
Because it seems a big debate in this episode amongst Tom has with several people is that Hook Stratton says, like, we need a common enemy to unite us. And Tom's response is, like, we need to make sure we have the right enemy.
Right.
So I feel like I can't see how Tom is wrong in that. I mean, certainly exactly. I know you want to find the people responsible. You don't want to just pick somebody arbitrary to get the country together. I mean, I feel like that's just asking for disaster to go yeah. after somebody you're not completely sure of is the one that did something to you.
That's setting him up for failure too, because now that's his legacy. He went after the wrong dude. If it turned
exactly.
out that way,
yeah.
and like everyone's just going to let him take the fall for it. They didn't want him mm-hmm. to have the job, and it's like, oh, you effed up. Well, it's your problem now.
Can I also say that I got a little irked during that interview with Vargas, because that seemed to so much be the state of news these days, is always wanting that juicy story. And
yeah.
I miss the days of news and journalism, getting back to like the days of FDR, where nobody knew that he had polio and was in a wheelchair. Nobody in the general public knew that he had polio and was in a wheelchair, because the news respected the office of the president and wanted him to be kind of that power figure that the country can look up to. So in this case, exactly, why do you bring up that, you know, he was fired, which fired,
it's
whatever,
juicy.
Stepped out. It's juicy. And I just want to say that. I don't like it. I don't like that is the new thing. Obviously, you know, they portrayed it just exactly how it would be portrayed. That would be tweeted out and Facebooked and Instagrammed and everything else out there.
No, it seems at times like this, even though
but,
you want hope for the country to unite,
yeah.
there's still people that want to be critical and kind of pick
exactly.
things apart.
Yeah.
That seems the way everything goes. Now, we do find out, of course, that with the president's computer is compromised, that there wasn't something taken away from his main computer, but there was something added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they find out that it is indeed this video we've been talking about here, where we've got Majid Nassar from the Elsagar Martyrs. No, Martyrs, excuse me. I can't pronounce the words tonight.
It's late. It's 11:22.
The Martyrs Brigade, and they claim the responsibility for this. And so the generals are like, see? You wanted your proof, Mr. President. We've got your proof right here.
It's too easy.
Yes.
It's just...
I think it's very prevalent, though, and current to what is kind of happening in the current state of affairs. You look at some of the things that have happened with the ISIS attack in Minnesota, and I think there were a couple other ones where you have these groups that are trying to claim that they were the ones behind it because it makes them look good. And it ends up not being them, or it's, you know, homegrown people or individuals that, you know, they try to claim because it makes their power look good. And Elsagar, I can totally see them doing this in this case.
And that's even what somebody else says in the room, that Nassar is actually claimed mm-hmm. credit for other attacks in the past. And you can see the general just getting irritated as other people are chiming in. He's like, shut up. I'm just right there. I'm just about there. Stop it. Stop talking. And then Tom finally keeps asking the room, anybody, come on, anybody say something? And our boy from the FBI, Deputy Director Atwood, stands up and says, you know, one of my agents, Hannah Wells, she's been thinking the same thing, that this is like the second bomb that was actually planted there to kind of cast suspicion on who's actually behind this.
Mm-hmm. So, which I thought that was also a little bit predictable. You knew it would come up at a certain point.
I'm glad it finally came up there.
I'm glad it came out. It
came up in the right
yeah.
moment.
Yes.
If anyone whose ears they needed to fall on, it would be the president.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it happened in a situation like that, as opposed to him trying to, like, you know, get rid of Atwood. Bring me Hannah Wells. I want somebody who's going to really tell me the truth.
Bring me Hannah Wells.
But I do like, I mean, because I feel like Tom is being very calm and rational in this, where he says, I still want to get, you know, definitive proof that he's behind this. But in the meantime, just try to find this guy. So,
yeah.
That, you know, so we find him, so we know for sure where he is. And then if we definitely get the proof, we can scoop him up. So I like the idea that he's still willing to concede both sides.
Yeah.
But he's not going to pull the trigger until he has something definitive.
Yeah, he's a reasonable guy.
Yeah. Come on, General. Why can't you just get this beat? You seem just like...
I appreciate that the show is letting us see kind of what happens behind the scenes. And obviously, I feel like the majority of the public would maybe be falling behind the general, and that you want someone. You want someone right away. You want an enemy. You want someone who you can go after. But I think this show has done a good job of giving us the other perspective of the president, where he's the one with the hand on the trigger and saying, I can't do this yet. This is not what I will be defined for. I need to make sure that I am right in doing what I'm doing.
It's because with a show like this, we certainly see like the general and Aaron have had some kind of clandestine meetings in the past couple episodes. Mm-hmm. So I guess we get the idea that, I mean, certainly the general's not a fan of Kirkman, but we don't know necessarily if he's completely shady yet. But I feel like, do you like that ambiguity, or do you want at least one way or the other? You want to know the answer at this point, even if the Kirkman doesn't know. At least we as an audience know
right.
what the general's deal is.
Oh,
or
no,
what the general's deal
oh,
is.
Oh
yeah. I agree.
So it's like, I feel like even if he's with him or against him, just, you know, let the audience
know.
Let
us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because how long are they going to drag that out?
I know, and we don't know anyone who's really for him or against him at this point, because everyone's questionable, and it's getting, like, I don't know who to trust at all.
I think it would be interesting to find out the general's relationship with the previous president.
Ooh, yeah.
Was he the same way? You know, did he always want to have this takeover? Was he more agreeable in certain circumstances?
Because we don't know if President Richmond was like a super pushover or had him in his ear the entire time. You're right. We don't know what their relationship was like. And being that, you know, Kirkman was thrust into this new position, I'm sure the general just took that as a moment to push his own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Because I feel like, I don't know if we necessarily know so much about Richmond, other than the fact that he was going to move Tom out of the from his HUD position. So we know that he wasn't a fan of Tom specifically in that position, but we don't know necessarily was he a bad president at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from as we find out from Tyler's involvement later in the episode and Tom's story, that, I mean, he did care about his son. So, I mean, he can't be an all bad guy.
No, yeah. I don't know.
At least he cared about his son.
Yeah, he cared about his son.
And people will talk good about you at your funeral, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
That
funeral. Great. It's like, yeah, he's also dead.
Now, when Tom leaves that meeting, though, is like, well, he tells the general, find Nasser, but also do not release this video. So, guys, how long did you think it was going to be before that video was released?
Oh, man.
Just a few hours.
Surprised it waited that long.
Yeah. I was ready for it.
You're waiting for him as he left the room. All of a sudden, it was like being broadcast.
Well, he said not to. It's going to be released. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, and Aaron releases it, and this gets into the whole discussion. This is blowing up the live chat, by the way.
Nice.
Of the whole Aaron-Emily.
They're going to...
And who gets...
I see it too.
They're gonna be friendly.
I see
each other.
That's a huge part of this episode. We've been wondering that for, you know, a couple weeks now. Who is going to get the chief of staff? Aaron goes behind his back and gets the chief of staff.
I know.
Well, how did you like at the beginning of the episode that he kind of needles Tom about, like, well, you know, if you pick a chief
I thought
of
that
staff.
Was a bad. I thought that was bad.
Yes,
everything.
All of the cards were laying out that he was being too pushy, that he wasn't going to get it.
I also think even up to that scene that he with Tom and Emily, when he was like, I'm afraid I have to tell you, I thought they were just trying to like fool us for a second, then he was going to say Emily. Like, I thought that was just a moment to make the audience shake, and then I was like, nope, it really is Aaron.
I know.
Psych.
She was like, you could see that initial like sting.
Yeah.
How bad for her.
Do you understand why he did it?
Absolutely.
I do.
Yeah.
But I think that there's... another motive behind Aaron getting picked. Like you said, he was pushy from the beginning of the episode, kept making all these little moves here and there. I think just based on the way the episode ended with him with getting that folder and looking up on him, I think that there's something else there. I think he wants to get put in higher position of power to maybe do something else. I don't know yet.
Mutario says Tom doesn't want a yes man. Mm-hmm. See that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd see Emily as a yes man, but she, very much of a similar way of thinking.
Obviously, she's a yes woman.
A yes woman. But.
I think she wants to, like, keep him grounded and remember who he is. But the thing is, he can't be the same person that he was before this. Like, he has to adapt to this new role. And I think he feels like Aaron will help him see past his normal way of thinking. Just think outside the box a bit.
No, I agree.
Do you worry that he will get swept up into politics? He has shown himself to be an honest man and, you know, going with the telling the truth. Do you worry that he will get swept up into politics and that will hurt him?
He totally will. I think it's going to be a development over the season of what happens.
His character.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's going to be character development, because otherwise what he's going to stay... You can't stay clearly completely honest and genuine through this process. It clearly burns you. So, I think there's definitely going to be a character change. I think he will get caught up in politics. And then I think that will be the reason him and his wife are going to be fighting. Sorry, that was a wrong sound effect to make, but yeah.
Oh, really? That's how you fight?
Someone says that they think Emily and Tom had a thing. Do you think that could be a little?
No, but I do think that Emily and Aaron are going to... Not the...
What do you... Yeah.
Get coffee.
Get coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Right.
They're going to go on 1 of 7 dates in 7 days.
Extra sugar.
Not because...
Nice.
Now, in terms of politics, though, the person that is seemingly playing a lot of politics in the show right now is Congresswoman Hoog Stratton. So,
yeah.
But Tom's pretty much up front with her. I mean, because she's curious about Aaron and Emily are talking about appointing a rest of the Congress. And she kind of brings it like, hey, why were all those tech guys going into the president's old office there to pull out all the computers? What's going on? And Ali Tom just shows her the video. Wants to be straight up with her. Like, this is what's going on right here. But I don't want to release this video. You can understand why.
I don't hate her character.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't, for as much as what she kind of does of going behind the back at the funeral, which I don't know how much of that was her versus Tyler, and, you know, her being honest and saying, do I want the presidency? Now, but, you know, 2.5 years. I don't hate her character.
I don't either.
She's going to make it spicy. I kind of like that they threw that in there. Because I thought she was, you know, at the end of that meeting, she was just going to reassure him, like, I'm on your side, you know. And then she gives that real honest moment at the end, like, well, yeah, I will take your job at some point, you know. And I think that makes it gives another layer to this.
But I respect, if somebody's telling you exactly what their intentions are, I can respect that a lot more. Even if it's
for
not
sure.
necessarily supporting me completely, it's like, all right, I know where you're coming from. Cool.
I completely agree with all of you.
Someone says on here that they appointed Aaron because Aaron could do the dirty work while Tom stays clean.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's Tom needing
like
to stay
Jess.
Clean, but it just, I feel like Aaron does have a lot more connections. And as you were saying to Emily, it's like he's just a lot more politically savvy. He just can do, you know, he just knows how things work a little bit better than I do. So I can understand. You want somebody
very
that
confident
could,
guy, too.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't want someone that could go behind my back to go against my wishes. After, like, I get, here's the thing. Yes, maybe the move that Aaron made was the best move for Tom Kirkman this time. However, like,
you don't know. That's
you know,
all the
Aaron's
time.
Willing to go around the rules. Like, I don't like that about him, and I think it's shady, and that I wouldn't want that for someone that I have to depend on to that extent.
I think you could switch places of the roles that he gave Aaron and Emily. You know, what's the difference? Reward Emily with the bigger title. Because she has been by your side, and, you know, she seems to be more trustworthy. Still keep Aaron on as the special advisor, and I don't see what the difference is.
But I think the difference is in the room, though, because people are going to listen to a chief of staff, not listen to a special advisor.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
No, because it is interesting, because you wonder, like, I don't know, the idea of, like, I mean, Aaron leaks the video, and suddenly America starts galvanizing around this Nasser, but... If it's not the right person, the president's got so much more of a deeper hole to climb out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Short-term solution, long-term not good.
Yeah.
So we got Hannah Wells is interviewing McLeish there and finding out that he was watching the president's speech and then everything went black. And he's just like, if you find out who did this, please let me know. Okay, sure.
Keep me in the loop because I'm dirty.
Yeah. Why did I survive?
Why me?
Come on. Seriously.
And then we have, of course, a great family scene, guys. We can't get enough of this.
Family dinner, guys. Let's eat together.
We got Alex and Penny. They're unpacking, and they're unpacking Leo's room. And what did Penny find? A bunch of Leo's pills that he's been selling. They're just headache pills.
Hopefully when Penny gets a headache, she won't try any of those pills if she finds them again.
Yeah, and then Alex also finds the money. Leo's bankroll that he's just keeping, like, just...
Like, way to hide it.
Yeah,
jeez.
No.
I expect nothing, like, that makes so much sense.
I hit things way better from my parents. Like, it's unreal. Leo. I want to, like, help him.
Right, Leo, you're doing everything wrong. Your whole life, everything.
Just terrible. Just terrible. And then we have our big moment here where Tom has his interview with Elizabeth Vargas. And it seems to be going on all right. I mean, Tom is saying the right stuff. Everybody feels like the interview is going well. And then she says, well, you know what? I've got one question. And it seems like everybody's kind of worried, like, oh, is it going to be talking about the intrusion in the White House? Yeah. Isn't that at all? She starts talking about, wasn't the president about to fire you? And should you even be the president right now? Mm. Now, there are two points. I mean, that's
what
Aaron,
do you do? What
Aaron
do you
stops
do?
It and says, you know, you got to just lie about this. And Emily says, you got to tell the truth. What would you guys do?
You're pseudo Kirkman. What
that's
do you do?
Right. I feel like at this time, I mean, I'm going to go with Kirkman. I think honesty is the best policy. I mean, certainly this is such a tragedy. I mean, the country doesn't need more lies that are going to be uncovered later on.
But maybe, you know, maybe he could have been like, yes, but I also wanted this for A, B, and C reasons. Something involving his family to make him look like
a family
man.
I felt he could have spun it better.
Yeah, not like, nope, didn't want to leave.
Yeah,
like,
I agree that, yes, you certainly say that, yeah, I think he did it well in saying that he appointed me to another position, and it's like, was that your decision or whatever? And you could say that, you know, it seemed like a very prestigious position. Nothing had been decided, nothing had been released publicly. Like, spin it better.
Right. Yeah. Seriously, sure. Someone needs to give that guy some public speaking lessons.
I feel like he also kind of like made it weird prior, saying like, "Yeah, I never wanted the presidency, like ever."
Why would? Yeah,
that was like too candid. Like he could have like left that part out.
Say like maybe one day.
Yeah, like, oh, I never thought I'd have this kind of honor. It's such a big job, you know, and
such a big job.
Yeah, yeah, like just spin it better.
And he did a terrible nonverbal of when he said that, he like looked down.
Yeah. Oh god.
Like,
his body language.
Face the camera, like, and you know, be proud of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Also, like, people will know that he left the room, right? Like that'll be part
of
it.
Live?
No. That was No.
Yeah. Okay.
But they can't even put that in the story at all?
No.
Okay, never
they
mind. I was going to say, then that looks really bad. To be like, oh, I need
that's
a moment.
That's why he had her re-ask the question.
Yeah. And also, because who knows why he was called out of the room? You can't assume it just because of that question. What if it was actually some kind of national emergency that he was called out for? So you can't assume that's the reason. It's convenient timing, but you can't really conveniently
just like with Peter.
That's right.
Convenient timing to go to the bathroom.
Would you do what Tom did with better spin, or would you kind of do what Aaron suggested and lie a little bit?
Well, you got to be honest. You can't set your presidency out with a lie.
Yeah, I stick with the
people
lie,
would,
but
people
have a better
know
spin.
It would come out, you know, tweeting and all that other stuff. And then you have an entire storm.
Then it just further questions his authenticity, and it's just, it wouldn't be good for him.
I understand. I'm with you. I'm with you guys there. Honesty is the best policy, right, guys? There you go. we had then Hannah with one of the tech guys. They're kind of going over the footage from the president's speech, and they see that they know the Capitol blew up at 10:08:04, but the video feed cuts out about 34 seconds sooner. So they're wondering what happened during that 34 seconds. And they also notice that there's a woman holding up her his cell phone. And figure like, wait a minute, maybe this lady took pictures, and we can find out what happened during that missing time. And that becomes a whole issue of like, which I guess, you know, it's like, yeah, breaking the Fourth Amendment, because I mean, even though she's dead, I mean, it still is privacy issues. Where do you can get those photos from the cloud at all?
Here's what I want to know is what everyone's thoughts are on Hannah, because she was held on a high thing. And then this episode, we see a little bit of the dirty side of her, of getting rid of the Fourth Amendment. She's also hanging around with this Senator Scott who, you know, karma kind of came up and bit him in the butt.
He
has a wife.
You cheat.
Come
and get
on, Hannah.
They were estranged, Michael. They were estranged.
So I didn't see that coming, though. I thought that was like her boyfriend.
Oh, I wasn't sure what the relationship was.
I was hoping it was a great love story. No.
Yeah. Then you're like, I'm happy.
I was like, oh.
No. She was an undercover lover.
Lover. The new series on ABC.
Like that.
I mean, I can understand why she may be kind of trying to break the rules a little bit. She's operating from like a little point of anger. I mean, somebody that she loved has been dead. They have conclusive proof that he's dead. It's like, all right. I want to get some answers. And if I got to break the rules a little bit to do it, who cares?
I almost wonder why you still bring him up. I think he's still going to be part of the storyline. Because I think, why do you bring him up? What does that do to literally have him identified, have him be somewhat of a side character? We're wondering what's happened to Scott. What's happened to Scott? What's happened to Scott? Just to find out he's dead and that's it?
Maybe. Was he involved in something?
I was going to say, maybe his wife is alive. And then, well, that's why he was still married, and that's why that storyline was there. Maybe we'll get to meet his wife, because perhaps she's on the missing board, and she'll be on the surviving board. But then again, if this Peter guy only survived because he's part of it, unless Scott's wife is also Scott.
Scott's wife is the mastermind.
And she's like, it's all because of Hannah.
And we go to Michael's thing. Like, that's it. She blew up the whole Capitol building just to make sure she got Scott.
Wow.
That's it.
People on here.
That is a stretch. Oh, my God.
People saying, I hate that Maggie Q was made into a mistress. And, well, Scott is a politician, so should we really be surprised?
No. Guys, they were estranged.
They were estranged. Yeah, they were estranged because of Maggie Q.
Now we get to my least favorite part of the episode, and that's where Leo comes around, and he's looking around in his room for the drugs. And Alex comes out and says, hey, guess what? I found those, and I found your money.
They try to make him likable, but I still can't.
How? How do they try? What's the effort? I don't see any effort.
Because at the end, like, he's like, why did you do it? Oh, I don't know. And then he goes to the home, and he's, you know, playing with his markers. And then he stays around at the end instead of going to a friend's house. And they try to make him seem good, but... I think, and a lot of people in live chat, we're just not Leo fans.
Why? I'm sorry. Why didn't the mom, like, I don't know, ground him? Why was she like, no, sleep at a friend's house?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to, like, put that on Tom's plate right now, but still.
Like, still parenting.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
And then, I'm sorry, like, do you not know your kids are? You didn't know he was still in the house, like, that he hadn't gone to his friend's house yet? Maybe, like,
also
keep it on track.
The casting is, like, really bad. I'm sorry. Like, he looks nothing like them. Like, he's, like, at least, like, the daughter's, like, blonde. Like, it kind of, like, makes sense. But then I look at Leo, and I'm, like, are you, like, what?
Maybe he was also adopted. Maybe we'll, like, find that out, too.
Maybe. He just doesn't fit. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Where would he fit, though?
I don't know. I always feel
off
like
the show.
Awkward moments with the show always kind of center around Leo. Like last episode, it was like when the boy that was killed in Michigan was like, he's the same age as Leo. Like, nobody cares about that.
No one cares about Leo.
What if Penny took one of those? And she's like, yeah, she's eight. She's not stupid. Like,
oh, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Great. That was good. That was a good
great one,
yes.
Mom.
Yeah.
So then we cut over to the funeral before Alex can really get into it with Leo. She's called away. She's got to go with Tom to the funeral. And we see Tyler come up and say, you know what? I heard your interview. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you to use my dad's funeral as a reason to kind of prove your legitimacy as a president. So he says, I don't want you speaking. And Tom honors his wishes. Even though he's president, do you make the end run or do you kind of respect the son's wishes?
You gotta respect the son's wishes.
Respect.
Agreed. Put some respect on his name.
You took it out of my
mouth. I know I did.
But do you like what Tyler did where he reached out to Hook Stratton and had her come up and do a little eulogy?
I don't know why he did that, honestly, because she looked like genuinely surprised at first. She was like, I don't know.
Clearly that had to be something going on because I was, to prepare a speech, she had to have done that. And it kind of was set up. I mean, it doesn't really reveal if that was more of Tyler, if that was more of the congresswoman.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing that, I mean, if Tyler saw that interview and just from a place of anger, then immediately got in touch with Hook Stratton and said, I want you to speak instead of Kirkman.
Sure.
I could see that. And, I mean, she's a congresswoman, so she's used to doing speeches and stuff, so I wouldn't have a hard time believing she could put a speech together like this pretty quickly. Because, as I said, while she's doing it, it's like she seems presidential without being presidential.
Yeah. She's good. I mean, no one's doubting that.
But we see as they leave the funeral, we get like the great what's trending on Twitter there, hashtag bogus POTUS.
That's too much.
Hashtag bogus POTUS.
Yeah, so we see the public is really starting to question Kirkman's qualifications. And as Tom says during the speech, that's what you get for being honest in D.C. You get opportunism.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's right. And that, I think, they're trying to make it look like it will hurt him, you know, like him being honest and, you know, not seizing on the opportunity to straight go after Sakaar. But I think it will help him in the long run. I think that's what really will set him apart.
They're kind of
digging that hole for him to climb out of and look better.
What do you guys think? Say you're president or you have any sort of elected office. How honest do you think you can be in this? Can you be 100% honest all the time?
No, I don't think so.
Honest with spin.
You gotta do damage control in certain situations. Other situations, you give a little. It's like a give and take.
I think a lot of it is about reveal. Is honesty, you know, always telling the truth, or is it sometimes withholding information dishonesty? Because I think there's a lot of times where you have to withhold information, and I don't think that's dishonest. I just think that's ciphering what can get out.
Sometimes you're keeping information withheld to serve the best interests of the public.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need to cause a bunch of unnecessary panic if it's not needed.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
All right. So when Michael Kloss, when you get elected president.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
He's withholding information.
I have not held off on saying that I wouldn't be a politician someday. We'll see. Well, that's a long ways away, though.
Oh, about the, what, 5 years, 6 years?
I got a ways. I got a ways to go.
All right, well, guys, if you have a campaign slogan that you think Michael Quest should start using,
tweet
make
us.
Sure you tweet us or hit him up on the chat. We'll start reading out some of your great campaign slogans for Michael Quest to use for his run.
This leads into what people are talking about next on the live chat, which is obviously that phrase, the relationship between Kirkman and Tyler. And Kirkman kind of comes back a little bit with the telling the story. And people are wondering, did anyone think that it was faking a program to give to Tyler?
I don't think so. I mean, I think
I think it was real, but it could easily have been faked. It was in great condition.
Great timing, yeah.
Yeah.
But he had all the details. Also, yeah. I will say, though, it did kind of, like, it looked cheap. Like, we didn't even see the cover. Like, it just looked like a piece of paper.
Hand drawn.
He's like, I had my assistant go get this, and she also made it.
and what was the point of passing out the programs to everyone?
I guess the president was so proud of his son that he just wanted, like, here, his program.
I got to get one for everyone.
Yeah, let me get one.
I find it weird he didn't have, like, a video or anything.
Yeah, like you have something else?
Yeah.
Here's a program.
Well, you know, when you go to like a friend's graduation or a party, you just hand out those programs to all your friends when you get back home. Like, oh my gosh, I went to this really cool graduation. Check this out, guys. Look at this.
The program. Check out my program.
Check out my friend's program. Even better.
Oh, God.
Great. Take it home, guys. So, it's yours to keep. It's yours to keep.
It's all yours.
Take yours.
Don't throw it away.
Do you guys think we'll see more of Tyler? Obviously, you kind of won him back over. I talked about him maybe being a leader. Do we see more of Tyler in the future?
I want to see more of Tyler.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about on the show, not personally.
How did that get come across?
He's great. I like him on the show.
There you go. The actor playing Tyler, if you're interested, just
Tyler just became date number 8.
Yes.
Oh.
There you go. Are you interested in being written up in a blog?
Do you like cats and wine?
How about lipstick?
And lipstick.
Hey.
Why?
Boy, do we have a bargain for you. It won't even cost you $3,000. That's an inside joke.
So, while the public is questioning all these qualifications, Mike, our Secret Service guy, takes Alex over to the old house. That's where Leo's kind of camping out there. And that's when we get to have that nice awkward conversation where Michael said he's playing with the markers. That great scene.
Michael, did you play with markers?
Shows that he's a kid. They're trying to show that he's a kid.
Mom took my drugs. Let me go do arts and crafts.
What is happening? Like, what? I don't get it.
Yes.
I was so confused. I'm like, okay. That's literally my reaction.
Yeah.
We just have like a montage of us hating on Leo.
It's just, I mean, because he's just like sitting there like in the kitchen, just like on the floor.
I guarantee he does not watch our after show.
Could you imagine? Why do you guys like my character?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm sure you're a great person, but your character is...
We hate him.
Bigger and better roles ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. Can I go up from here?
Unfortunately for Kirkman, though, things aren't going up for him because the video is leaked. And, the question is, who did this? Initially, who did you think was the person behind the leak?
To be honest, I thought it was Aaron. I wrote down... Someone closer to Tom released it. Aaron? ?
That doesn't sound very confident, though. That's a question mark.
It's true. I was still a little confused because I really didn't think it was Kimball. I felt like they were setting it up for that to be way too obvious. So I'm like, it has to be someone closer to Tom, and it's obviously not going to be Emily. So I'm like, it's probably going to be Aaron.
I fell for the bait. I thought it was Kimball at first.
Did you?
I did. I got a little wrapped up in it, but you're right. It definitely was like diversion.
Yeah.
It would have been a super cool twist if it had been Emily.
Yeah. You know, who knows? Emily could have been her
fighting for her, like, spot, I guess.
Yeah. Jonah, I got what it takes. I can do this. Hook's friend does deny it and says that, you know, it's, but she says, whoever did this, though, did you a favor. Because in a few hours, the conversation is going to turn away from your ability to be president and your qualifications, if you were fired or not. And the country's going to finally now have an enemy to kind of galvanize to and look for you as the commander in chief. So I feel like he's, at that moment, I mean, he's not that jazzed about it, but he can't really argue that that's incorrect. I mean, still, as we talked about, if it's wrong. Yeah. If it's wrong, he's still got a long road to hoe.
I mean, I think that even some of the things that have gone on in the presidential debates here and everything going on where you have a scandal come out or some bad information coming out for one candidate or the other, and then like 2 days later there's a national security thing and you've completely forgotten about that, and it's like, well, it was great for them, you know, they're still there, but I don't know. Ivan says no, Emily is a good person, he didn't think that. Someone said, yeah, my money was on Hoogstraten, sorry. I thought it was Coughlin. A lot of different guesses there.
Yeah, I feel like that general is just, he's just so like, I don't know.
That's see a good impression of him, though. Like, that's like exactly he's in the room, right? What he's like. It's like he's always growling.
Yeah. And scowling. Like,
but Tom, being the smart man that he is, figures out that, hey, I know it was you, Aaron. And Aaron says this. Do you guys believe what he says here? Where he says, you are surrounded by people who want to see you fail. I want to see you succeed. Do you believe Aaron?
No.
He wants to see the president succeed so it will help him succeed. So I guess in that realm, yes. Overall, no.
Yeah, I just don't trust him. I don't know what his motives are.
I don't know. I mean, because I feel like there have been moments here on the show where he could have just pushed Tom over to give him the wrong decision, give him the wrong info, the wrong advice, and kind of tipped him the wrong way. But I feel like he's more often than not come down on the side of Tom.
Yeah, but unless he has like a bigger plan, because that's what Andrew's up so early.
I think he's setting something up.
But also, are they just trying to like throw in these clips with Aaron, like getting the file of Kirkman to throw us off and make us think he's bad? I mean, they have to have a twist in the show. They have to.
When he falls for Emily?
When he falls for Emily. No, but I think that they're almost making it too obvious with Aaron being the bad guy, and I don't know if maybe there's another person we won't suspect, but I feel like right now it's so obvious that Aaron's doing shady things. Like, he's got this file, he's just weird, he's talking to a general. Like, there's so many weird, shady qualities about Aaron. I don't know if they're doing that on purpose, or I don't know.
But Tom does, or Aaron does tell Tom, though, it's like, hey, you know, if you can't see that, or you can't accept me doing what I did, then I'm going to give you my resignation right there. And he opens up his briefcase, and boom, right there. There's, or not his little portfolio that he has with him. Boom, he has a typed up resignation letter right there. I know Christine was impressed by that.
I was like, really? Yes. You came prepared? Like,
man.
Have any of you guys ever done a resignation letter at all?
No. Yes.
Yes?
Yes, but like to an. Okay, so I'm really bad with confrontation. And
was this to a boyfriend?
No.
I love
imagine from a relationship
to an ex-boyfriend. No, I had this old serving job and I wanted to quit, but I didn't know how, so I wrote out a letter of resignation and lied about a family tragedy. I was very vague about it. I said there was a family emergency, and I couldn't face them, and I never went back in.
Wow.
Whoa.
It wasn't like a short-term family emergency. This was like a long...
It's permanent.
Yeah.
Like, I said I didn't like go into detail. I wasn't going to make up some elaborate story, but I was like, yeah, I have a family emergency. I won't be able to be there for the next few months.
Next few months.
And then I was like, so I think
what
it's
was
best
it,
we
a family
split
emergency
ways.
In Antarctica?
But yeah, I'm really bad with so that's the only anyway, so the show. Oh my gosh, Leo.
Former employers, I hope they're not watching right now.
I know.
She's already gone from the job.
It's
so
true.
They're gonna fire me.
So the time is any of you guys have quit, it's just been verbally? You've quit? Or have you not ever quit a job? You've only been fired. Dun, dun, dun.
I quit my last job because I moved to California, but it wasn't like on bad terms.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, hey,
yeah, I'm just like, hey, I'm out.
That's it. How much
believe it or not, it was a
get?
Serving job, too. I was bartending, and yeah.
Did they you were like, something like that last night? Like, hey, I'm out, bye. You'll never see me again.
Well, I did scurry out the door when I was done. I hated that place, but...
In talking with the, you know, Aaron and does he have Tom's best interest at heart, someone says, talking about when he gets the folder saying, I think Aaron's file at the end was to remain on top of the dirt to defend Tom further down the road.
I could see that.
It's possible. And then that would make sense that they're trying to throw us off by making us think the file is a bad thing, which is why she also said, depends what side you're on. So we're like, oh my God, it means
that's
the bad guy to throw us off.
Yeah.
Let's
depends
hope that's what it is.
That's very telling.
You want to be Team Aaron?
I don't want to be Team Aaron, but I want to have it be trickier than this obvious guy being the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
I like a challenge. I like a real twist. Insider job.
Ooh. Well, and speaking of insider jobs, though, Hannah, who's having a little tear session, a little cry it out there about Scott being gone, gets a call from the tech guy and says, hey, you got to come over here, check out this footage. They got some photos from the cloud, and they look at it, and they see 6 seconds after the video cuts out, they find a photo where our boy Peter was, and he's gone.
Thank you very much, Steve Jobs, for creating the cloud.
Seriously.
There you go. So now the question is, like, we don't know exactly where he is, but we do know for sure that he was not in that room when the bomb went off.
Could have been in the bathroom.
He could have. That weak bladder, man. That weak bladder will get you all every time.
I feel like that plot is just not as juicy as the fact that he was in on it.
Hashtag weak bladder, guys. I think
Why
that's
not?
It. Yes. yeah, and so we figure out what's Peter's story. Where's that missing? Where was he for that missing 24 seconds?
Yep. Yeah.
And then also we find out that Emily, she was proposed to, as they say, it was a post-disaster acceleration in her relationship. Her fiance or her boyfriend had proposed to her. She said no.
I saw that coming, I will say.
Yeah, I did too.
No,
because she didn't say
it.
She said yes from the beginning.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, if the woman doubts it, it never works out.
It's true.
It is true.
Moment of silence.
So this gets into the Aaron and Emily dynamic of what will happen. I don't know if this is a prediction or if this is just a regular thing, but obviously this is a huge storyline.
It's gonna happen.
Oh, well, I guess we'll go to, because pretty much the end of the episode, as we talked about, the file, we have Aaron, it's in Aaron's hands. What he's gonna do with it, we'll find out. So why don't we speculate about all things Designated Survivor.
Predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Renee.
Okay, so with the file, I'm hoping, I don't know if it's true, that Aaron is a good guy and it is to protect him further down the road. As for Peter, I'm thinking that Peter thought that he blacked out right after it went off, but actually he did maybe go to the bathroom or go somewhere, and then he's going to try to convince them that he did see something, and he's going to remember it the longer he is healing.
I think that they're going to go with Peter and not let them know that they know he was gone. And, you know, try to get him to admit something and then be like, hey, guess what? Boom! How you like that news of we knew you were gone? And I think even that he wasn't supposed to leave, I think that he freaked out. And he was supposed to basically be a martyr for the cause and die, and instead did not. And freaked out at the last moment, left. And I don't know. As far as Aaron and Emily, yeah, definitely going down. Definitely going down.
It's going to happen.
There's going to be a late night office meeting.
They're going to get coffee.
Wait, is that the breaking up? Which one is that? Can't tell which one.
You got to get the women and the gun.
Ah, gotcha. Christine, you have any predictions?
I think I'm down with your prediction about Peter being in on it. And I think the fact that he asked, if you find out who did it, like, let me know.
He wants to.
I think he wants to get ahead of it, because maybe he did screw up somewhere in his involvement with this, and maybe he's going to flee. Maybe he just doesn't want to be found. I think they're going to try and go back and question him, and somehow he's gone. Like, he just leaves the hospital or something, like, you know? That. Like, just, yeah.
Like how you left your job.
Ooh.
Scurried out of there. I feel Peter is not long for this world. So whether he's actually deliberately killed on screen or he just disappears, and we know that, you know, somebody had a hand in making sure that Peter was not around to answer any more questions.
Yeah.
I think that's a deal. And then I think Leo is, I guess it's not a prediction, it's a hope that Leo just goes away. So that's my other hope for the show.
Fingers crossed.
But still, the actor plays Leo, feel free to tweet your number.
We'd still love to have you on.
Tweet it, Renee. In the meantime, though, folks, before we go here, real quick, I teased at the beginning of the episode, Michael Klaus, super huge confession. Michael Klaus, please share that confession with us all right now.
I went...
don't say camping.
That's not really...
Oh!
Yeah.
You could give Christine a nickname.
I don't know what a nickname. See, here's the thing.
This is terrible. Terrible
I got bit. Nothing. I got nothing. I'll try to tweet out something later. Right. Disappointment.
But speaking of social media, though, folks, make sure you like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you tweet Michael Klaus or just any of us here and tell us what Michael Klaus's campaign's looking should be. We'll start reading those in future episodes. In the meantime, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Renee, where can they find you?
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And check out my blog, CatsLipstickLA.com, and
I'm very interested.
Read about the follow-up of the 7 dates in 7 days.
I really want to know. I'm like a Bachelor fan, so I got to know all this juicy detail.
It's just like the Bachelor.
Michael Klaus, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at MichaelKlausTV.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean. I'm your host, Christine Alexis.
And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Make sure you tweet us those campaign slogans for Michael Klaus. I want to read some next week on air. We'll see you next week on the Designated Survivor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.